So mindfulness, the balancing factor in the spiritual faculties, and the factor of mind that goes right through the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha's teaching on mindfulness, his main teaching on mindfulness. So I remember being on a convention a few years ago, and Bhante was introducing Bodhi Mitra, an order member living in Germany, was giving a talk, and I can't remember what the talk was about, and I can't remember very much about Bhante's introduction, but at some point he said, we should be watching our minds all the time. And I thought, yes! Because that's very much the flavour of this practice I've been introducing, a continuity of awareness through whatever activities we're doing, even through talking, through listening, through typing, and through whatever it is that we're doing, all different postures. So today I wanted to look a little bit, very briefly, about what's meant by mind. It's the third Satipatthana, and there's a lot that could be said about it, and I'll say a very small amount. I think there's quite a lot of mystery involved in what does it mean to be watching the mind all the time? What is mind? And in the tradition, it makes a point of saying that the mind has no colour, it has no shape, it has no location or form. So we can't really know the mind through the ways that perhaps we know things in our physical world. We know them by their certain characteristics that we can touch, or we can see, or we can feel in some way. But we can know the mind, if you like. We can know the mind through its functions and through its capacities. So we can be aware of the mind that knows, the mind that thinks and feels. We can be aware of the faculties of memory, of perception. We can know the mind through being aware or giving our attention to something. So in all these functions and capacities are ways of knowing aspects of mind. And when we talk about watching the mind, we're also aware of whatever's happening through the physical senses. So through the mind sense, we're aware of what's happening, the sense of touch, the sense of taste, or that we're seeing, that we're hearing, smelling. So if we look for the mind, we don't get very far. In fact, we might experience some strain, or the mind's attempt to sort of conceptualize something that we think of as mind. But by just letting the mind be quite open, letting the attention or the awareness be open and spacious, we can just notice what's happening. And some of those things that we notice will be experiences through the five physical senses, and others will be through the mind sense. So this morning I just want to talk about a couple of mind faculties, and ones that have quite an impact on how we are aware. So the one that I'll talk first about is thinking, the thinking mind, how to work with that in meditation. And later on, hopefully there'll be time to talk a little bit about mood, the mood of the mind. So thinking is a natural function of the mind. I think sometimes in meditation, we almost seem inbuilt, to have inbuilt this sense that meditation means, if not getting rid of thinking, or lessening thinking in some way. But if you like, thoughts, it's their job, if you like. They're just doing their job, just thinking. Thinking nature is to think. So thoughts are quite neutral in a sense, but a bit like sati that arises with other mental factors. So we can have thoughts that arise with klesha, with this more sort of afflicted mind states that cause us some degree of suffering, or thoughts can arise with kusala, or kalyana, with beautiful qualities of mind. They can arise with more skillful qualities. They can arise with wisdom. So if you like wisdom, thoughts like to think about how to practice. What's the best way? What's happening in the practice now? There's a self-reflexive element to thoughts that are saying, what's happening in the mind? Am I aware right now? So there's thoughts that are really helpful to practice. And there's a lot that are fairly neutral. And there's a lot of thoughts that arise within that framework of self-interest, of identification. There's a lot of identifying with thoughts as me. So the job of mindfulness, of awareness, is simply to recognize that thoughts are happening. Seeing thoughts or thinking as objects arising in experience. So we're not delving into the content of thoughts, though that content will probably be known, it will be recognized. If we sort of dive into that, which we're fond of doing, that's when the language of creating a story or papancha or proliferation comes about. What we're learning to do is have that wise involvement with experience, which entails recognizing simply that thinking is happening. Becoming aware that you're thinking is enough. Often in practice, there's this language of sort of going back or coming back to something. You recognize you've been lost in thought. The mind wakes up from thinking and you come back to the breath, to something else. So in this practice, it's enough to recognize, thinking. Perhaps recognize that you've been within a story and now, what's that like waking up from thinking? You're already present. There's nowhere to go. Nothing to do, simply rest in that present moment. And it'll probably quite naturally expand to notice other aspects of your experience. So we can, with thoughts, it can be helpful to think of how does this thought feel in the mind? Getting a sense of that sort of mental spaciousness. How does it feel in the body? How do you know you're thinking? It's quite mysterious, really. I mean, we often know through the content of our thoughts. That's what we're identified with. But just backing off a little bit, how do I know? What does a thought feel like in the mind? We were talking about virya yesterday and the quality of interest associated with that. And I think interest in the process of thinking. It can really light up the mind, can light up your experience to ways that we perhaps hadn't noticed before. Just from that little step back. Sometimes I think with the content, it's easy to get into judging the content of mind. That can be one of the hooks that makes the move from simple awareness of thinking to involvement in the thought, the sticky involvement in the thought, because we either like the thought that we're having or we don't like it. If we don't like it, then we may well judge it. So the Burmese teacher Upandita has this little phrase: any thought can arise in any mind at any time. And I really like this. It points to the impersonal nature of thinking or of thoughts. They're just arising. They arise, they pass away, saying all sorts of things. And it isn't necessary to attach to what they're saying, but simply it's enough to just know that that process is happening. So one of the things that can help, and some of you may well have done this before, but there's a way of looking at thoughts which just uses simple mental labels. If you like, it's a way of recognizing the content of a thought or the type of thought it is without delving right into it. So you might talk about or notice. You can notice very simply thinking. That can be your soft mental label. Thinking's happening. But it might be remembering if there are thoughts about the past, or anticipating thoughts about the future. Planning also around the future. Fantasizing, judging, comparing. We can have a lot of thoughts that compare our experience either with somebody else's or compare with our own experience from the day before or the week before. So recognizing that comparing mind is happening can save us from a lot of suffering. So there can be seeing, say if there are imagined images, or hearing when you've got a conversation going on in the mind. I think there's also the mind that, what I tend to call can't be bothered mind. So the mind that's sort of drifting along, it's just a bit apathetic. It's not really engaging in the practice. So this may manifest in thoughts, but it may just be a bit of a feeling quality to the mind. Can't be bothered. There's also, if you notice that you've had a thought before, maybe just a couple of minutes before, you can notice repeating mind. Apparently about 70% of the thoughts that we have, we've already had before. And many of them more than once. So this little, when I talked about Sampajanya yesterday, I said this little phrase, what's helpful. But we can also use the phrase, this is slightly Burmese pidgin English, necessary or not. Necessary or not. So if you have that repeating thought, and it can just sometimes cut through, actually it's just a habit of the mind. And there are lots of labelling. You can use lots of labels. One I quite like, and it's particularly in relation to the thoughts that the mind throws up sometimes. I know I'm not alone in this, because I've heard other people say it too. What I call appalling thoughts. And now Bodhi's looking very sort of, no, not me. I'm teasing. This label came about actually through a little story I heard the meditation teacher Joseph Goldstein talking. He was talking about a student coming to him in a meditation review and saying, Joseph, the mind, it's just appalling. It just throws up all this stuff. And it does. It's, you know, the really petty thoughts, the judgmental thoughts about other people, let alone about ourselves. But the thoughts that it could be very easy to judge and think, and to really want to sort of disidentify from. That's not me. Which in a way is you're quite strongly identified with it, with that desire, that strong desire to separate yourself from certain sorts of thoughts. So you can just bring a bit of humour into it. It's just an appalling thought. Any thought can arise in any mind at any time. It's my time to have an appalling thought. It'll be somebody else's time. Someone else in the room will also be having one, no doubt. So in a bit we'll do a meditation where we use that framework. If you've done it before, if you're familiar with working in that way, or if it it can feel a little bit clunky at first. So just to say, the main point is recognition that thinking is happening, and this is just a further way of encapsulating that type of thoughts that arise in the mind. Sometimes they're planning thoughts, sometimes they're judging thoughts, sometimes they're fantasizing thoughts about lunch or whatever. And it, you know, it doesn't matter. I think the point is that it doesn't matter what sort of thoughts they are. They're simply material or fuel from which to help awareness grow stronger. They're simply objects of experience. Any object will do. I love saying that. Anybody who's who has their Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice references, well, that sticks in my mind. So one last thing to say in relation to thoughts, and I'll include this in the meditation. It's useful to reflect on, do you believe your thoughts? How much do you automatically believe the thoughts that come into your mind? Against all, rationalness. If you look at the inconsistent nature of thoughts, we can think one thing and then 5 minutes later we're thinking something else. Again, this upandita, any thought arising in any mind at any time. Can you connect with the random nature of thoughts and thinking? And often when thoughts are arising with klesha, with these sort of more afflicted or distorted emotions or mind states, you can notice in the mind, what does that do to the type of thoughts that you have? We'll look at emotions a bit more tomorrow, but it can be very interesting just in a way, recognizing from moment to moment the different mental factors, mental and emotional factors, and get some sense of, in the moment, how that relationship between thoughts and emotions. Gone.
No.
No, no. No. I had a thought that arose and gone, it went. That's all. The recording is fine. Yeah, and looking at thoughts, how much are our thoughts simply the coming out of various views and opinions. As Bhante is very keen on saying, that they're not, how does he put it? In a sense, not our own thoughts. They're the received opinion, wisdom, views of others are inherited. So much of our thinking is simply inherited from our conditioning, background, others. It's about original thinking, isn't it, Bhante? Talking about we almost, if never, have an original thought. There's a lot of froth. A lot is produced. We can just allow, if you like, that sort of froth to be known without going into the content. So the questions that I mentioned before, how do you know you're thinking, what does a thought feel like in the mind, we're looking to get a sense of the nature of thinking, and in particular the conditioned nature of thoughts coming into being. What are the conditioning factors that bring a thought, a particular thought into being that lead to another thought? Different feeling, a different body sensation. There will be connections that at times we'll be able to notice.